Did you really read all those books, or is it just to make an impression?
My sisters love those books. I really think you might like them. And I'm willing to be directed as well.
والكافي تهذيب استبصار من لا يحضره الفقير.
How much are you familiar with the books in the bookshelves of the Muslim libraries in the world?
You're listening to the program Bookshelf on RIB English Radio with Brother Hussein, a book lover and a student of Tarbiyat Mudarris University of Tehran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters out there, to the avid readers of books, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You've tuned into IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran. The show is Bookshelf, and I'm Hussein. I'm here if you're looking for a good book to read this week. Great people push their communities faster towards the future, and so every community needs great people. Great men do not seek popularity. Rather, they seek the truth and struggle every little bit to attain it. Such exemplary figures inspire their communities and unite them. It's hard for communities to develop great individuals among themselves, so we should cling onto the few who did become great and were recognized for it. We remember the great people of our communities in order to remain inspired by them and to remind ourselves of what our community is capable of. Great scholars and great scientists consolidate our identity, our pride in who we are and where we are from, and become role models for the young generation to follow. Great people can trigger an ambition that leads to even more great people. They remind us of our values, of our goodness, where we are headed, and what our goals are. There is a massive difference between people who have few men and women to be proud of and communities that have plenty. Similarly, there is a vast difference between children who grow up having proper role models and the rest. This is reflected in the decisions they make as they grow up and the people they turn out to be. By reading the biography or autobiography of the exemplary individuals of our society, we acquaint ourselves with their mindset, follow their steps, and learn from the troubles that they face during their lifetime. Today we want to introduce one of the great people of our Shia community, that is, Ayatollah Khonsari. Stay tuned.
Why do we read books in the first place? What are books good for?
We read books because we don't want to reinvent the wheel, if you will.
We'd better take advantage of human cultural and intellectual heritage, particularly related to our daily activities, such as our physical, mental, spiritual, or even religious health.
We can't ignore the past thoughts and experiences. To do so, we need to boost our bookshelf.
You're back on IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran. This is Bookshelf, and we were talking about how it's important to remember the great people of our community, how they become an inspiration for us, a role model, and a reason for us to consolidate our identity. The book we want to introduce today is called Ayatollah Khonsari Through Sources of Witnesses by Hassan Idrim, translated by Abbas Abu Saidi, and published by Ansarian Publications. Ansarian Publications is a respected publication, well known for its efforts in the last few decades to translate and publish Islamic books. You can download Ayatollah Khonsari Through Sources of Witnesses for free from al-islam.org. So the book is in front of me right now. It consists of only 53 pages, and the contents are the emigration, in the company with ulama, on the acmes of glory, the religious authority, the prayer of rain, exemplary pilgrimage, the virtue, the fatwas of anger. And that together makes it 9 chapters. We're going to take a short break now, but after the break, we're going to read an excerpt of this book. We're going to read chapter 9, Fatwas of Anger. And you can join us by downloading the book and join us in the reading. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Bookshelf, and we're about to read the book Ayatollah Al-Khonsari through sources of witnesses, which you can download for free from al-islam.org. I'm going to be reading chapter 9, Fatwas of Anger. The Unveiling of Woman, the visit of the Minister of Culture to Shiraz in 1934, and the prominent festival held in Shahpur School under his supervision caused an uproar over there. The audiences were surprised on seeing about 40 half-naked girls on the stage dancing to the music. That was the beginning of the popular uprising. People in that time thought that Reza Khan, Shah of Iran, does not have any information or prior notice about the festival. But the said minister confirmed that the festival had been formed by His Excellency, the King. Yet Ayatollah Sayyid Hossein Qomi had expressed the multitude's impression when he declared, with tears, "Islam needs a sacrifice, and I am ready to be that sacrifice." Then he sent a telegram to Reza Khan, asking him to revert to the first situation and annul the law of unveiling the woman, threatening with a strongly resistance. Circumstances became more critical, and Ayatollah Al-Ha'iri broke his silence for the national interest, so he enjoined his most faithful student, Al-Khonsari, to lead the demonstration against the Shah and to assist Ayatollah Qomi. Nevertheless, Al-Khonsari needed no provocation, since he was sure that this decision of the government is absolutely going to be disappointed. Al-Khonsari, as Al-Sharif al-Razi relates, was indeed the only partner for Ayatollah Qomi's struggle against the corrupt projects of that time of government. Al-Khonsari expressed his attitude about unveiling the woman and modernization in a fatwa. "There is no doubt that unveiling the woman as it is seen nowadays is positively haram, and such indecent deed is really enjoining the good and forbidding to do the evil, which is wajib upon everyone who lives in this homeland." In another story, which is titled Skimming Through the Diary, it reads, Reza Khan was extremely fond of Ataturk and his doctrines, aiming to have Turkey as his example and model. Now he began to cast his policy in the form of modernization. Thus he started with the hat as a beginning, as an expression for the unity of the nation. He forced the ulama to wear the hat too instead of the turbans. Sheikh Mujtaba al-Iraqi relates in his diary, "In the upper floor of Fayliya School near the library, there were three rooms. One was for Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Talaghani, one for Ayatollah al-Qarawi, and the third was mine. While Sayyid Talaghani, who was away from Qom, returned, I and al-Khonsari put an appointment to visit him after the evening prayers. During our visit, Talaghani spoke to al-Khonsari saying, Reza Khan traveled to the north, and he issued an order that he doesn't want to notice any turban worn by anyone when he returns from there to Tehran. Thus the police are attacking anyone who wears a turban, tearing the ulama's cloak and mocking them." He added angrily, "Qom is not far from Tehran, since it may be attacked at any moment. Now what are you going to do?" Al-Khonsari smiled and said, "That's only a probability, and nothing might happen in Qom. This order may be entirely annulled." Actually, that order remained inside the fence of Tehran, and nothing happened in Qom. Later on, it was completely neglected. Right, so that's all the time that we have, unfortunately. We were reading the book Ayatollah Al-Khonsari through sources of witnesses, which you can download for free from al-islam.org. If you missed our program, no need to worry. You can always download an archive from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Bookshelf. Until next week and a lot of reading. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.